When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, producer Matt.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. You were telling me something pretty exciting, and I thought it would be an interesting thing to tell the listeners who are listening right now.
Yes. Well, the news is, if you actually don't want to hear from me again in this context with ads, all you have to do is join the Patreon. And you can get an ad-free office hours experience.
So right now, there's rubes listening who are not paying, but they're listening to ads after ads.
Yeah, such as this.
I don't listen to the ads. I don't pay attention to that aspect of the show.
Yeah,
but you're telling me there are ads in this podcast.
Oh, whoever's hearing this right now, their experience of office hours is littered with ads.
Yuck. So, but you want
to
listen to it ad free? What do you do?
You just go to patreon.com/officehourslive.
What's that going to cost me? Hundreds of dollars?
Oh, not even close. Not even for $55, you can get a whole year of office hours entertainment.
$55? What? That's well. That's how much you can do it for $5 a month, correct?
If you're a fool,
right?
You would pay. You'd pay $60 for a year at right. $5 a month.
But dripping the money in every week.
Yeah, like a fool. Or you can just cut your check.
Sign up for the year, because we're not going anywhere.
No, we'll be right here. And if you pay, then you don't have to hear this kind of junk anymore.
Ad-free for patron subscribers. That's big.
No.
Let's lock the gates and start the show.
I like having fun. I like to laugh. I like to meet people who can make me laugh. I like having fun. Yes, I like to laugh. I like having fun to meet people who laugh.
Have your way, have your way, have your way. to pizza.
Yes, Lord, have your way.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Tim Heidecker. We are live. Woo! Praise God! Praise Him today! Something is about to bust. It's gonna be my nut. Hey, Buffalo Bill! What did you kill? Ladies and gentlemen, it is Thursday! Right, I like having fun. January 14th, 2021. Horse Mahoney, Hoagies Sriracha, Hoagies with Sriracha, Pistone Taranta. Oh, baby. I got my ponytail in, baby. I'm pony in. I say I can't do it no more. I can't have this flop in my head. And if you guys want to make fun of me, go ahead.
Tim, you should do the top bun situation.
I can't get up there. Should I try the top bun?
Yeah.
How do I do that?
Oh, I like that style right there.
What is it?
That's a good style. You take the ponytail out and you got like a little, there you go.
Something's about to bust up. Holy shit. My favorite song of the year.
Try it up top.
How do I get that up there?
You just go up.
I did this for On Cinema. I put this up there. But this is going to look stupid. Is it all the way up front? What do we think, folks?
I think it's about right up there.
Like, and then you bun it. Yeah, that's all right.
McConaughey bun.
All right.
There you go.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, where do we go from here? I don't know how to do that. I forgot how to do this show. I forgot what we do here. Someone remind me. Let's take a Zoomer real quick. Someone remind me. What we do here.
We have fun, and we like to laugh.
I see. Hello!
Right. We got the horse gangster.
Who's that?
I don't know. He's been pestering me in the chat. The horse gangster. And now he can't even unmute. Come on, horse gangster.
The horse gangster.
Hello? He's like fumbling around. Say something, horse gangster. Are you unmuted yet, or what?
Yeah, I'm unmuted.
Oh, hey, there you go. What's going on?
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so listen, let me say something, folks.
Dude,
if you're in the Zoom, there's a good chance I'm going to call you up. So I don't want to hear any more of these, shit, I didn't think to. Just be ready, or
right,
I'll smack you down.
It just came out of nowhere, is all.
Hurry up!
Well, that's life. That's what we're doing here is teaching you about life. Sometimes someone's going to come on and kick your ass.
Watch him out of kitchen.
So what do you have for me today?
I'm basically here just to kind of pull down the veil horses.
Yes. Yes.
Alrighty, then.
I don't know
bridle.
What you're talking about.
It'd be the bridle if it's a horse, not the veil.
Glad you could drop in.
What are the horses? Are we talking literal horses or are we talking some kind of metaphor?
No, this is very much literal horses.
All right.
Okay. So I have a theory that is basically related to the fact that horses are amongst the most demonic creature. I'm running out of steam here very quickly.
Yeah. It's a flop.
Goodbye.
Yeah, no, I concede that. I concede that.
It's all right.
More demonic than a goat.
Well, how about that horse that's at that Denver airport? You ever see that horse? That statue of the horse with the red eyes? That's
pretty
spooky.
Coincidentally, I actually do live in Denver.
See?
So I see that quite often.
There it is.
How about that distance?
I forgive you.
The distance from the airport in Denver to Denver proper is one of the wildest distances, if you want to talk about strange distances. You've got the airport. And then it's got to be something like 100 miles away from the city. Right, Doug? You can confirm on this.
It's not 100 miles. It feels like an hour away or something.
Yeah, and you pass through like just miles and miles of empty land that would be like, well, we could put it here. This would be closer.
I have to go ahead and interfere again. Doug's wrong.
Okay.
You're wrong.
Okay.
What?
Doug
the airport
wrong.
is The airport is in the confines of the city of Denver.
How far, though?
Bullshit.
That's enough.
Oh, you know.
Bullshit.
I was going to hand over money to you guys today.
Why?
But if you're just calling me a liar.
Well, put some evidence up to the table. You can't just come on here and make wild accusations that it's part of the city of Denver. And right, I want to see the city. I want to see like the city borders. Maybe they got one little noodle, little string going out on that highway.
I'm on it. I'm on it, baby. Hold on. Here we go. You go. Look.
Okay. There you go. What am I looking at? I don't even know what I'm looking at.
There's a map.
Yeah.
Okay. I pulled it up. All right.
Thank you.
It's about 30 miles, but it's still too far.
But is it in the city of Denver?
No, yes, it's way out.
Here you go. Here. Look.
85. We just doxed the Denver airport.
And my God.
All right. Well, there you go. Thank you for being a. Were you thinking of giving money in terms of becoming a patron? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I am both becoming a patron today, and I'm going to say some nonsense in the chat with some more money. So.
Good. Well, listen, this is a great time to become an annual member if you can afford it. Join in January. You have office hours all year for a free month. So think about doing that. It's only, what is it, $55?
Matt? You know what? Yeah. I probably
you
will.
You can pay good deal. $55.
You might as well do that. What are you going to do? What are we going to? What's that called? On The Sopranos, when they're like they're draining everybody every week. Like Syl always talks about it. They're saying like, I got her on the. You know what I'm talking. Like it's a gambling thing. Like I don't want to have. I don't want to have
the VIG. The VIG.
Yeah, because we're going to start putting points on these fees. So you might as well just pay it off now. Basically. The Patreon is like you're in debt to us. Like people, I don't know if the audience knows this. Anybody watching the show or listening to the show is in the hole for us because this is not free. The show isn't free. So you might as well start paying.
Because
we don't want to tag on the Vic. And I'm talking, not talking about this Vic.
I did agree to make this financial contribution in exchange for this endorsement. So I'm waiting for your endorsement.
I give you my full-throated endorsement of whatever you want. I will endorse anybody today. Today is almost like, again, I mean, we're very focused on the gangsters these days, but almost like it is the day of where I will do whatever you ask me to do. You come to me, you ask, I cannot say no. I cannot refuse you. Okay, that's what today's about.
We're supposed to endorse that horses are evil. Is that what he said?
That's true.
No. I have asked for you to specifically endorse the murder of horses.
Oh.
Well, I don't go back on my word, so I have to. Listen, if you're going to murder a horse, do it responsibly and legally. That's the key. Legally. There's a lot of people out there who are taking their...
Don't do what Ralphie did. Don't burn the whole stable down.
All right. That's spoilers.
Do you all really believe this?
All right. Thank you so much, horse guy. let me just say quickly, we've got a tremendous show today. Bye-bye. Stick around. We've got Lance Oppenheim, the young. So young. Ooh, so young.
Sit back, relax.
Director of... one of my favorite, really true. And it's been annoying as I try to use the English language properly to say this has been my favorite movie of the what? Not of the year, because it's only January 10th. And I saw it last year, but it's not out yet. So put all that together. Try to be in my shoes for a day. It sucks.
It's hard. Come on.
It's really hard.
18, open them beautiful eyes.
It's so hard. I'm like, well... Is it my favorite movie of recent? And that doesn't sound great either. It's not my favorite movie of all time. I mean, I'm going to tell Lance that. Listen, Lance, what do you think? Is this my favorite movie of all time? When Godfather's out there, when Goodfellas is out there. Come on!
How about in the documentary department, though?
No, it's not my favorite documentary of all time.
Really?
Vic, clear out your desk. You're done! Is everybody okay?
Yeah. We're just camera stuff. Don't worry about it.
Okay. And then we're going to have this tremendous pun contest surrounding the insurrection. The insurrection. What did he call it? The calamity at the Capitol?
He had a word I never heard before. I should have wrote it down. Because he didn't want to call it like an uprising or insurrection or whatever it was. But
he said something. I grabbed it because I was going to do something with this and I got too lazy.
A dust up?
He said, let me hear.
I was shocked and deeply saddened by the calamity at the Capitol last week.
That's like a Three Stooges episode. The calamity.
Whap, whap, whap. Whap, whap, whap.
The Three Stooges and calamity at the Capitol. Listen here. I want...
Hey, Mo, I just got elected. I just got elected a congressman.
Why, you? I'm going to be a chief of staff, you hear me? You're going to do as I say. Lots of gavels involved.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all right. It's all right, kid. Oh, Mo, I voted for impeachment. Why, you? No, that's all right, kid. No worries. He doesn't say no worries. That's all right, kid. You didn't know what you were doing.
Get over here.
Come here. Calamity at the Capitol. The newest short from the Three Stooges. The calamity. Oh, the calamity of it all. Anyway, yes, Matt's asking me if we want to take a Zoomer. So the contest itself will begin at 11. Hey, John Galanti, hi. People love waving at me. Almost like I'm the queen, you know? For John Galanti, that's an important thing, the queen. He's an Englishman.
Isn't it Galantini?
I don't know.
It's Galantini.
What do I say, Galanti?
That would sound good in tongues, John Galantini.
John the Galantini. let me see.
You want a punster?
Yeah, somebody submit your pun. You could become part of the pun contest. And at 11, the experts, me, Doug, Vic, and the great Andre Highland will be joining us to compete. That's the show today, and we're going to wrap things up now.
Hallelujah, Tim. Good morning.
Right.
Good morning, cool guy.
Hey, I'm Beanie Bros with Doug today.
Hello. Yes.
What's up, bro?
You got a pun for me?
I do. Now, after the insurrection or the calamity, if you want to call it that, they got all these metal detectors set up right in the Capitol.
Yes, yeah. I've heard about
and
this.
And the Republicans aren't going through them, right?
Yeah, it's just just a mess.
What's the
hold on? Let me talk about this for a little bit. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, <it's,
laughs> I'm just sidetracking. No, what? So okay, talk to me.
So my question, like, what's up with these guys? Right? I mean, they don't want to go to the metal detectors. They might be what, cyborgs or something? Like they're from Skynet or something. Now look, I know their big leader. I know he's a one Terminator, but. Come on, guys. You got to get with it and get through the dang metal detectors.
There you go. Brandon has submitted his pun, the one Terminator. I like it. I like it a lot.
You.
Okay.
Thank you.
Cut to tape.
You want to give it a 1 to 5 rating?
Yeah, 1 to 5 gang. What do you got?
Oh, yeah, everybody in the Zoom.
So, folks, the way we're going to judge the contest today is in Zoom. We need the 1 to 5s, 1 to 5s, and Matt's going to do, he's going to get his calculator out. It's going to be wonderful.
And you know what, in the chat on a lot of twos. YouTube also.
I'm seeing 2s and 3s.
Seeing lots of 5s. I'm seeing lots and lots of 5s.
You are. Well,
a lot of people are saying this is a 5.
Okay.
I'm going to land at 3.
Matt's going to be the judge par excellence. Okay.
Land at 3.
3 is better than average.
That's my calculation.
Something's about to bust.
And I've got more, too. I mean, I can keep going.
No, you can't. Not on my time. I tell you what, why don't you go spin that globe, huh? Why don't you go spin that globe and sit on it?
Give it a spin.
Stop laughing at me. That's not that
funny. It's next to a picture of my great-grandmother right there.
Aw.
Anyway.
Okay. Where are you calling from, by the way? I'd like to get a sense of geography.
Yeah, no, I'm calling from Kentucky, land of our fearless leader, Mitch McConnell.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
Really
ever ready, Vic Berger.
Yeah.
Really no, proud. I do need to move the show along.
That was Doug.
Oh, thanks for your time.
Thank you for your time.
I love you.
I love you.
Wait, so we can answer it?
What?
You said we can ask for anything and you give it to us?
That's, yes, that's the statement I made today.
You'll get an endorsement.
You make a request of me, I cannot refuse.
Come on, man.
Okay, money?
The fuck
out. You want to pay me?
Get him out!
$3.
$3, huh? All right, we'll talk.
$3 for a three.
How about this? I'll give you free money. Sign up for an annual membership at Patreon. You get $5 for free. Bing, that's a lot of money.
That's fair enough. Little kissy kiss.
Kissy kiss to you. All right, can we get rid of this guy? It's like saying goodbye to my grandmother. Goodbye. I love you. Yes, I love you too. Goodbye. City of the day, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, this is the reason why so many people join us every week, is to find out what the city of the day is.
The city of the day.
Oh, we're both playing it.
City of the day.
Something's about to bust. Something's about to bust. Something's about to bust.
City of the day.
City of the day. Like John Lennon on that song.
City of the day. City of the day.
City of the day is sponsored by. Let's get it big, nice and big, Matt, would you? Nice and big, thanks. Sensory Blasting Tank.
Right under the bus.
Yeah. No. scooch it over a little bit, son, would you?
What's going on?
Just the text to come over.
Do it in a Bowie voice. And
Are you sick and tired of peace and quiet?
Sick.
Are you sick and tired of peace and quiet?
Yeah, well, we had a teleprompter fail at the moment, so hold on. Are you sick and tired of peace and quiet? Do you think ultimate relaxation is for the birds? Well, now you can get what you need with the Sensory Blasting Tank from Mind Weapon. These custom tanks simulate all five senses to the maximum extent allowed by the FDA, and then some. Lay on a bed of razor-sharp spikes and get whacked from above with rawhide-slapping paddles while extreme noise frequencies explode from 500-watt quadraphonic speakers. Bite down on the intense triple sour heart of steel dental chef while blinding strobes of the world's most pungent odors fill your tank with hurricane velocity. And that's not all. These marine grade tanks can be filled with water and brought to a full rolling boil so you can get full body burns in seconds flat. Mind Weapon guarantees your senses will get absolutely shredded in 5 minutes or less, or you get your money back. So wake up, America, and get blasted with the Sensory Blasting Tank from Mind Weapon. All right, there you go. Mind Weapon, a great new company that we're excited to be partnering with. City of the day is... Do we have a guess?
Well, can I do a brief bone pick here?
Okay, I'm turning things over to Matt Carlin. Very brief for the remainder bone of the pick. Show. Producer Matt has the mic.
Every week, I get people messaging me saying... I know the city of the day. Can I come on predicted? So finally this week, I made the instructions clear. I said, get in touch. Nobody.
Hi, this is Vic Berger here. And you know I don't like stress. That's why I'm personally inviting you to eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious meals. Every Factor meal is fresh and never frozen. It's chef-created, dietitian-approved, and it's ready to eat in just 2 minutes. I tried the chef's choice meal plan, and it was a chef's kiss of meals that hit all the spots and filled our bellies at the Berger household. I know you're asking yourself, what were Vic Berger's favorites? Creamy Dijon pork tenderloin and garlic herb salmon. These are classic dishes that are ready to go with no cleanup and not a problem at all. So get chef prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals and get back to doing what you love this spring. Now, these are premium meals with premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Sign up now! Head to factormeals.com/officehours50 and use code OfficeHours50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code Office Hours 50. OfficeHours 50 at factormeals.com/officehours50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Stepped up to the plate. Not one person.
All right. Well, we have a very small listenership. I'm not surprised.
I am mad, Matt. That's what they're saying. So does anybody know? Nobody in Zoom knows?
Matt is seething.
I'm seething. Do these hand raisers know it? Gray Niner thinks he does, but I think he's wrong. Brad Oyster, are you saying you know it?
I felt like we established
Wait,
this
didn't
last
they
week.
Crack it last week?
The first game, they cracked the code, close, but they didn't predict it properly because it's not county of the day.
Right.
Oh.
No, horse man, you can't go again, and that's wrong to my knowledge.
Okay, you know what? I don't care. Here's what it is. City of the day is, I'll predict it because I know it, Flirt, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. One of our great states. We're really one of the only peninsulas that we can identify as a state that is also a state. Maybe there's a couple others. Rhode Island people are saying it's truly not an island. Doug, do you know anything about that?
Or Rhode Island?
Yeah, people often comment.
It is, though. I mean, why would they say that?
I've never been there, so I don't.
What is that, Vic?
It's not. I mean, I thought it is an island. It's like surrounded completely by water, right?
No.
Isn't it?
I had somebody come up to me on the street yesterday, and they said, Sir, Rhode Island is not an island.
Oh, I thought you said Long Island. Sorry, I was zoning out.
No.
Wait, so is Fort Lauderdale a fort? So this
Peninsula.
Person was dead. The city is a fort?
I need a definition on the word Lauderdale, okay? I'm going to think it's English, because Dale is kind of like a field or something, right? We'll get to the bottom of that with our guest today. Oops. City of the day is weather. The weather is high of 71, low of, Doug, what's it like down there in Florida when it's getting a little cold, when it's the coldest part of the day? What's that temperature, Doug? Show me the
Let
light.
Let me see, 66.
I'm going to get you 58.
Yeah.
The year rock and roll was invented. Or 54. what else is happening, everybody? We've got a lot to get through. I'm just trying to think. What do you have? Oh, Vic?
I wanted to...
Vic?
I was speaking of weather. I was wondering like what the weather was going to be like during Joe Biden's inauguration, because I assume that people are going to be out there. I just wanted to let you know, if you go, it's going to be cold, and they are expecting some precipitation, and they're saying that could range from rain to snow to hail to the chief.
You're sliding one in there. You getting rid of your dog shit?
That's the worst one. That's the tamest one I have, so okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you're going to get at 11 o'clock, folks.
It's nearly 11 o'clock.
I don't know. Vic, do you want to...
I'm just getting rid of... Yeah, I have a couple. I have some real bad ones, but...
We obviously saw the major shadow banning... Oh, the actual banning of the president of the United States last week. I don't think we were on the air for that. Was that at the... Was that Friday, maybe?
It was like... Yeah, it was Friday. It was Friday night. Like, they slipped it in.
Right. Yes. And so, one of the great... Twitter accounts of all time is no more. It was a little, you know, it was probably way too late to take it down. It was a very dangerous account, considering it was the leader of the free world.
Right. They're just trying to show that they did something, even though they were kind of culpable.
They warned him. There was like months of this sort of like, you can't keep posting this stuff. It's, you know, if you keep doing it, there's going to be repercussions and all this stuff. And Vic, I asked you to compile your top 10 Trump tweets. Not that we're David Letterman show, but
yeah.
Your favorite. And I think this is going to be fun because it's not like hopefully, I haven't heard yours, but hopefully this isn't going to be like the stuff we all know and the stuff that, you know, because he's been,
right.
Just a little context, this tweet from Don Jr. was resurfaced from 2012 the other night. And it says, My father. Hey guys. My father has already exceeded 1.3 million followers on Twitter. Follow him at Real Donald Trump. Great and exciting
Thank
insights.
Thank you for standing up to the bullshit.
Great and exciting insights. Okay. So That was 2013. And imagine if you could, like, time travel Don Jr. to, like, the day of the riots and be like, this is what, this is the, you know.
I'm going to be in your backyard in a couple of months.
So, Vic, take it away. Give us a few.
Yeah, I'll give you a few. These are not my all-time favorites. There's so many. And some of the best ones are the ones that everybody knows. But I went through. So I kind of have them by themes here. Right, okay. Now I'm going to start
and give us a time, too, if you have like a date or some year.
I think I have them all in chronological order, I believe, okay. Here.
So early.
So this section is the windmill tweets. He has an obsession with windmills and wind turbines. So this is a tweet he sent to Rachel Maddow. Standing in front of wind turbines is sad. Rachel, windmills are terrible for the environment. Then another one. Windmills are the greatest threat in the U.S. to both bald and golden eagles. Media claims fictional. Global warming is worse. There's another one. Turbines will kill more birds than hunters. Wind turbine syndrome. So this is like he's so pissed off at wind turbines that he creates a disease around it. Wind turbine syndrome is affecting tremendous numbers of people in their wake. Stop ugly turbines.
And this is because they're putting them off the coast of his golf course.
His golf course in Scotland. And then this isn't a tweet, but he actually said, as president in 2019, the noise from windmills causes cancer.
Oh.
So there you have it.
did he really say that?
He did say that, yes. And then I have, where are some of these? So there's two that are based around Apple. This is from 2013. he did not know that Steve Jobs died. So I can't believe Apple isn't moving faster to create a larger iPhone screen. Bring back Steve Jobs. So
this is, after he died?
After he died, yeah. So then a couple days
how
later,
long did how long has he been dead for at that point?
I think
point?
At that point, I think he died in 2011, didn't he? So 2 years. And then
well, maybe he was looking for a Frankenstein situation.
That's right, bring him back. Yeah, if anyone can do it, Apple can. And then so a couple days later he probably realized that, oh, I should say something about Steve Jobs dying or whatever.
There can't be any let me guess, there's no admittance of fault here.
Right. Not really. Not really. But of course he goes into the gossip kind of thing. So let's get this right. Steve Jobs dies and leaves his wife everything, billions of dollars. Now his wife has a boyfriend, lover. Oh, Steve.
What? Wait, say that again?
So let's get this Steve. Right. Yeah, let's get this right. Steve Jobs dies and leaves his wife everything, billions of dollars.
Okay.
Now his wife has a boyfriend, lover. Oh, Steve.
Because all the greedy fuckers
ever died. Oh, my God.
So
what a psycho.
Have a couple more. Do you want to do maybe we'll do the schlong tweets. Do you want to do that?
Mm.
Or say that?
Of course, yes.
Okay, we'll go through these.
The schlong tweets.
These are all in order. Once again, mainstream media is dishonest.
So wait, set this up with what happened before this.
Oh, yeah. He. I guess he was at a rally or a speech or something, and he mentioned that Hillary Clinton got beaten by Obama, but he referred to it as schlonged.
He schlonged her. Schlonged her.
Obama schlonged Hillary. So there was
all kinds of people.
Yeah, there was hubbub. Like, you know, people are like, what is he talking about? Why is he talking about the penises pounding or whatever it is? You know. And so then, of course, he gets home from his rally. It's 10:47 at night. Once again, mainstream media is dishonest. Schlonged is not vulgar. When I said Hillary got schlonged, that meant beaten badly. NPR's Neil Conan said schlonged to WAPO regarding 1984 Mondale Ferrero campaign and finds up some random thing. That ticket went on to get schlonged at the polls. Hashtag hypocrisy. For those on TV defending my use of word schlonged.
Triple down.
Right. Because mainstream media is giving it false meaning. Uh-huh. Tell them it means beaten badly. Dishonest mainstream media. When I said that Hillary Clinton got schlonged by Obama, it meant gotten beaten badly. The media knows this often used word in politics.
It's not often used.
No. So that was his last schlong tweet.
And it's not been said since by
anybody.
Everybody
knows it.
All right. And I have two more here that are just...
Go ahead.
I mean, this is a classic. I don't know if everyone knows it, but like this one.
I'm enjoying this.
Especially like, you know, in the age of vaccines and COVID and everything.
Oh, boy.
Healthy young child goes to doctor, gets pumped with massive shot of many vaccines, doesn't feel good, and changes. Autism. Many such cases.
Many such cases.
So then this one, because it's timely, is a classic. Are you allowed to get impeach a president for gross incompetence?
There you go.
There you go.
And the question has been answered.
Twice, in fact.
I loved the one. I wonder if you could find it on the fly, but there was one that really struck me one of those mornings you wake up and look and see what's up. And it was him talking about Mika Brzezinski.
I've got that here.
Oh,
yeah.
Please, share with me.
I heard poorly rated Morning Joe speaks badly of me. Don't watch anymore. Then how come low IQ crazy Mika, along with Psycho Joe, came to Mar-a-Lago 3 nights in a row around New Year's Eve and insisted on joining me? She was bleeding badly from a facelift. I said no.
Oh, my God.
Bleeding badly from a facelift is so fucked up to talk about by anybody.
Yeah.
Can you imagine anybody in your life, like, ever talking about anyone's bleeding face in some kind of public forum about anybody?
Right.
Oh, yeah,
sick
yeah.
Guy.
All right. Well, thank you, Vic, for doing that.
Sure.
Let's take a call, or as I call, a Zoom.
Our old pal, Phil Braun, is here. I don't think we've talked to him this
Phil
year,
Braun.
Next caller.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hey, Phil, what you got for
Let's
me?
Call a job.
Phil? Just checking in with you on the new year and just seeing how you guys are doing and catching you up on how I'm doing.
Yeah, that's kind of what I just said.
It's kind of the way it goes, isn't it?
Yeah. So let me start over. Hey, Phil, what's going on with you?
Well, I got this $1 million from George Clooney that I think probably a lot of people heard about.
What? That's cool.
You've not heard about that?
No. Well, I heard that he was giving $1 million to some of his closest friends. A couple months ago.
That was me.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Good luck.
Okay.
What happened?
No, so I didn't know you knew George Clooney. That's kind of neat.
Yeah. No, yeah, I'm one of his 14 best friends, and George gave me and 13 other guys $1 million. And so I've been working on trying to get a little investment going here. And came up with a fur company where I'm going to start selling furs probably to a lot of people in Hollywood here coming up.
Fur.
Yeah, fur coats.
Wow.
You guys have an interest, possibly?
No, I don't.
It's a little warm to wear out here.
Yeah.
I mean, I might if I were back in Pennsylvania.
I don't know if that's even allowed anymore. Can you sell fur? Oh, there you go. You got... Phil's furs, coats for any occasion. Let me ask you about that before I get into the ethics of this. Coats, what would be a fur coat that would be appropriate for, let's say, some kind of outdoor sport? You know what I'm saying? Because you're saying fur coats for any occasion. Fur coats are generally pretty severe coats. Like they're, you know what I mean? Or they're like kind of fancy or something.
They're for warm.
That's where I want to begin.
To keep warm.
The Idiotrod would be one sport you could wear them. But I know you're not in California.
The Iditarod, not the Idiot Trod. The Idiot Trod is people that go on the dog sleds? Okay, that's a little bit
of
a
That's what I meant to say. That's right. But, I mean, you're going to be out playing tennis or golf. Anytime you're outdoors, golf, tennis, you could wear a fur and keep warm if you're, wintertime, that sort of thing. So,
okay. Fair enough. Second question for you.
Yeah.
Mr. Clooney, does he know about this endeavor? Your friend?
Well, it kind of ended. He gave us the Toomey suitcases full of $1 million.
So he just gave you cash. He just gave you a suit.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. And this is in the news, by the way. I mean, it's a real thing.
Yep.
That you can see and look up, but that this really did happen.
Looks like you looked up it on CBR.com.
Well, just for your listener, I just wanted your listeners to see that it's a real deal.
Okay.
We got $1 million. But the problem I'm having right now is I tied this money up in the COVID minks over in Denver, and they are being held up by customs. So I've been having trouble getting those minks back over here.
That's interesting, but I'm a little more interested in, does George Clooney know where his money's going?
Does George know? Well, does George care whether I'm buying minks?
Yeah, I would think George Clooney's like a real liberal. I don't know what his animal activism is, but I assume he's got. I mean, just so you understand, like, well, I don't even know. I mean, I don't know if fur coats are legal or not legal, but they're certainly not. You know,
well, it's
I don't know
point.
If you can buy. You can't buy fur coats, can you? Are they? What's the legal standing of fur coats?
I think you can. I mean,
you can. You can go down to Beverly Hills.
You can get vintage stuff,
and you could buy. I think these.
But are they?
You can
making,
buy fur coats. They're still making this.
They are okay.
Yeah,
but so,
fur coats in this day and age? Why we got to do fur coats? What kind of? Where are you sourcing the fur? Mink? Copenhagen mink?
No. I haven't been able to get these Denmark minks, so I'm having trouble importing them over. So I've got an alternative going on, and I just wanted to try to get those going.
Okay.
What is it?
What is it? What's the alternative? Well,
I guess my audio is not working quite right here, so...
I'm hearing some...
I assume
Bart,
that's Doug's.
Do you have room for all those dogs in that yard of yours?
You have no idea how long I've been waiting to be on this show.
Oh, I see. I thought that was you. Are you playing anything?
I'm not doing anything.
Oh,
it's like, yeah.
Wait, have dogs there that you're using for fur? Is that... where this is going?
Where are you hearing it from? Because everything is clear on my end.
I hear a lot of dogs, and Doug and Vic are not playing anything. So, well, that's awful.
No, I mean, I have a pet dog, but I don't have.
All right, Phil, I'm going to let you go because. Shame
on
you.
Can I talk? Well, like, can I talk? Maybe if I could talk to your wife about a coat, I could sell some of the guys. Vic, your wife, you want to give me your phone number?
No, we don't. My wife would not want a fur coat. Okay, she's an animal lover.
I'll know until you ask.
She's not going to wear a dog fur coat. You understand?
I didn't. I'm not saying.
It sounds like to me you're selling dog fur coat with George Clooney's money.
I'm not saying that at all.
That's kind of an interesting follow-up to the original good-hearted sort of good news story about George Clooney giving his friends $1 million each. I also want to ask you this, Phil. Are there tax implications for the $1 million that you got from George Clooney?
It's all under the table, baby.
All right. Thank you, Phil. Good luck to you with this endeavor, but I do not support it. Wow. Shocking stuff from Phil Braun.
Yeah. I don't see why they can't make humane, instead of faux fur, you could do real fur, but it could be dog fur from when you take your dog to the...
Mix it with glue?
Save these poodles down, save that fur.
I always think about that.
What do they
you can
throw,
even do
it,
like,
throw
with
it
human
out.
Hair. You can do it with human hair, too, if you want. People get haircuts
I just
all the time.
Start working out
go to the barber,
show.
Go to the groomer.
Yeah.
Collect.
Get it all.
And repurpose it.
Wash,
by the way...
Wash it, boil it or something.
Boil it.
I want to thank Doug Lusenhop for,
love
for
the boil
providing
hair.
This new workout tape. It was big success on Saturday, and it continues to exist as a, you know, you can watch as many times as you want if you're up on the Patreon. If you're paid your dues, you get the workout from Doug.
We're going to have to do it again.
Why do you need to do it again? Because it's there. It's done.
Oh, maybe it's something about it.
Set it and forget
fun
it.
To do live. All right, I won't do it again.
All right. Matt, last week,
yes,
we were talking about apologies.
Okay.
That's right.
And you've discovered sort of opposite of this, which is the double down.
Yes. Yes, I have a big double down story that some folks might be familiar with. I've got some visuals for it. So I'll take you through.
first Lana Del Rey, there was this headline in Complex magazine you see here.
Yes, very complicated.
Yeah, complicated. Lana Del Rey doesn't believe Donald Trump purposely incited the Capitol riot.
Now, glad we asked.
Yeah, she's been kind of a controversial figure.
Who fucking cares?
I like her music.
I like her music too, but whatever. She's like dating that cop guy from the live PD show.
A real cop.
There's been other stuff.
She's problematic.
So it seems. We're not sure. Jury's out. But she gave this interview. It's they took it slightly out of context. It's kind of a link bait title. But rather than issue an apology, which you can see here, she did issued a double down via video.
What is she in, like an orphanage?
It is.
Looks like she's like hanging out at Mrs. Hannigan's.
Yeah, look at this. Kind of a messy bed to do. Yeah. So should we watch this vid?
Let's see if little orphan Annie pops in the background.
This is the double down video. Oh, are we muted, Wes? What's going on here? Is that on me? What's going on?
I prefer Lana Del Taco.
So I just want to talk about a couple of things. Some of the articles that are coming out today about me thinking that Trump didn't mean to incite the riots. I think it's cute that that's the little takeaway that Complex gets from that. And especially with our relationship over the last 10 years, obviously completely disregarded, and the other bigger magazines, that goes for you as well. I get it. I have something to say, and I don't just show up giggling and talking about my hair and my makeup. I was asked directly political questions for over 40 minutes by the BBC Radio 1, and I answered them, and I said, when someone is so deeply deficient in empathy, they may not know that they're the bad guy. Okay. And that may be a controversial opinion, but don't make the controversy that think that he meant to incite a riot. It's not the point, is what I was saying.
Right.
The general point is the wider ranging issue of sociopathy and narcissism that's being reflected in our government right back to us. And what we've seen in the pandemic is the second epidemic. And I talked about this for 10 minutes. And I said to Annie Mac, this is the takeaway for me.
Don't do press.
We've seen violence.
Who's asking you to do press? Your label. Say no. You know what? It doesn't. It's a big pain in the ass.
Calls going up.
Everyone takes me out of context, so I'm done doing
because
press.
Because of issues of
you think anybody
between one partner or
reading
another,
these complex and interviews, and any of these fucking interviews are like and the chaos. Buying your records because of it? Just don't do it.
Yeah, but it was a relationship with Complex.
Sounds very complex to me. It's very hard to
Wait,
be.
That was a double down, though.
Yeah,
with all due respect.
I think she kind of.
It was the tone.
I think she clarified.
Clarification.
She went after the mainstream media.
With all due respect.
Fake
news.
Yeah. Here's how I see.
Good point. Well, it's the typical reaction that we discussed last week would be just issue the apology. But she's saying no. She's going on the offensive.
Right.
Well, everybody's got to do all these backflips.
If she feels like she was taken out of context, why should she just bend the knee?
I would like an apology from you right now.
Uh-oh.
Matt, I would like an apology from you
for spoiling the show with that stinker.
Here's the thing. I say controversial things every week and no one cares.
Kiss.
Where's my article? Where's my clickbait? I got to start riling people up.
You can't even rile up the right-wingers anymore, it seems.
I know. Well, they've been silenced.
But I think most.
I did get that Nick Fuentes all upset. Yeah. He was going for weeks on me. He did like a four-hour breakdown of our stupid interview and just couldn't get over it.
Right away.
Wait, who?
Nick Fuentes.
Oh, Nick.
Booger Nick.
When he wormed his way into the show.
Where is he? Is he in hiding?
He's talking about my hook nose.
Yeah, is he in hiding?
He should be.
Well,
his
platform got taken down, right? D-Live.
Well, D-Live, yeah.
Well, listen, if you want to say did Trump literally call for a violent attack on the Capitol? No, that's how advanced everything has gotten, because he and his people and Stephen Miller and all these people know that they can that they've learned from history that they don't need to be literal. Yeah. They can talk in dog whistles and codes.
But if Trump wasn't president, would this riot have happened? Of course not.
No.
He for years, he's talked about how the election's going to be stolen from him and everything.
They've created a reality. Yeah. They've created an alternate reality where what choice did some of these people have? What were their options? Their options were to just lay down and let the Chinese communist country, the Chinese government, or the country of China, literally take over America. And Satanists and pedophiles and, you know, they've stolen the election.
Trump train!
And they are Satanists that are going to destroy our country. That's what these people have been told for years.
Trump train!
I sound like Dan Carlin now. Again.
My God.
Now, I was listening to Dan Carlin has a great podcast called Common Sense. And he went through this last night, but he's told these, why wouldn't they storm the Capitol?
Of course they're going to.
This is their literal, like, there are some people saying that if Biden takes over and if the country gets handed to this communist satanic cult, that conservatives, real Americans, are going to be rounded up and put in concentration camps.
I got hairy legs.
What are these people supposed to think they're supposed to do?
Dead.
And they've been told, you've got to fight. You can't not let this. So I feel for some of these people. I feel like, you know, I know some people tangentially through my life that fall into this category, and they're people that have, you know, had things have not gone well for them in their life. You know, there have been through their own choices often, or through just the luck of the draw. Just people are not, you know, they have not had success. Things have not gone well, and it's very easy to be open to finding somebody or something right. to blame.
And con men have been around forever, and he preys on people like that, and gives them an answer, you know, or gives someone to blame. And
yes, and Trump says, yeah, whether it's immigrants,
yeah, it could be anybody,
the Chinese communist government, right. the global elites, mm-hmm. the Hollywood socialists, the Jews. Everybody.
And a lot of people that came out to vote for Trump, I think, didn't really know who he was from the 80s. They knew his bullshit
NBC,
persona.
NBC.
Yeah, the apprentice. Look at this billionaire. Look at he knows how to run a company.
I like
company.
Olive Garden.
Yeah. So, I don't want to sound too sympathetic. I think a lot of these people are smart enough to know the difference. But there are people that feed into this that got really hosed and got brainwashed. And brainwashing is real. It happens in cults. It's not some kind of just fun expression. It's a thing that can happen to people, and it's going to be very hard to pry these people away from this religion of belief.
Right, and which is why, you know, people like Rand Paul and Ted Cruz are kind of keeping their options open, not condemning it too much, because
there's a market.
They want to run for president
Absolutely.
Again.
Absolutely. All right, I believe we have our guest standing by.
Bueller.
Is that correct?
Absolutely.
And then it is with great honor, that I welcome to the show. It is with great respect, it is with great honor, I welcome to the show. Lance Oppenheim. Lance, there you are.
Here I am. Hey, it's nice to see you. Thanks for having me.
Let me ask you a question, because this was an issue last week. Have we met?
What do you think?
I think we have.
I met you in a dream, Tim. No, I think I met you. I saw you at a thing, and I said, "Hey, I love your stuff."
I said, "Get the fuck away from! Get out of here!"
You said you smell bad and leave me alone.
No.
And
then,
feelings?
Did I meet you at the Mr. America screening, maybe in New York?
Yeah, you got good. Yeah, you got good memory.
Well, I've been told
windmill
this.
Syndrome isn't hitting you yet. What's that called? The windmill.
Oh yeah.
What's that?
I can't remember what it's called. Windmill.
What is this? Some
cancer.
Survey?
It's cancer. No, it's
oh, windmill cancer.
Yeah, windmill cancer.
Well, I don't remember that, which is now seemingly becoming a problem in my life, that I'm not retaining certain memories. But I've been told, I think, by Dory from Magnolia. She said, I think I introduced you to him.
It was a brief one, but it was a nice one. You did. Speaking of smells, I thought you smelled pretty good.
I usually smell all right. And,
yeah, no, it was nice. And then I got to meet Greg really briefly, and I'm a big fan of his too. I love entertainment, and I asked him about I think Frank Sinatra Jr. And he he talked my ear off, and I loved it.
We should get Greg on just to talk about Frank Sinatra Jr. That would be fun. Lance, where do I begin with you? Let me begin this way. You posted this on Instagram. Maybe you could tell where this came from, but somebody sent you a note. I don't know where they sent this note. It said, "Good film. Listen to your interview on NPR. As a PR consultant, a piece of advice: answer questions in a shorter way. You spend 30 to 65 seconds answering questions, which was beyond tedious." And I'm only reading this because you posted it, so I feel like you're okay with it. And made me think it would be equally tedious to watch film, which thankfully it was not. You don't do yourself justice. What is that about?
That guy sent me that email like during the interview, so I was distracted because texting me and
what a quick way
seemed excited, you know,
such a quick way to form an opinion.
Well, I think, you know, he's probably partially right. You know, I could use a PR consultant. Everyone could use a PR consultant. You know, even you, Tim, you know, you could use one.
I have a PR consultant that I speak with every day. We go through everything. We've got a huge list.
Yeah, I looked the guy up on the internet, and he seems like he's big on Gab. I don't know if it's
on
the
Gab?
Same guy. I don't know how he would have gotten a link to the movie if maybe he's a film critic in disguise or something, but I don't know.
I have to say, I'm so bored by this right now. I hate to do this. It's like, you're just droning on.
How many seconds?
30, well, 40? What we need, Matt, is a timer 32. Here. So I'm going to ask you a question. Let's see if we can tighten things up when it comes to your answers. Listen, I feel bad for my audience to some degree because I got to see this movie a month or so ago because of my Hollywood connections. Magnolia put out Billion Dollar Movie and they put out Mr. America, so we're friends. But they're putting this movie out. And it was really one of my favorite movies of, like I said earlier, I don't know how to say, of the past several years, maybe.
Better than Goodfellas or
it's not better than Goodfellas. No. Get out of your head. Come on, man. Give me a break. Imagine this movie's better than Goodfellas. Get out of here. It is. Just briefly, can you just talk about what the movie is about for my audience? See if you can do it in under 10 seconds.
Under 10 seconds. Okay. Well, this is, thank you for that. That means a lot from you, first off. This is a movie. It's about the Villages, the world's famous retirement community. This isn't a political expose of a movie. This is a movie about four people who live there who are kind of on the margins of the marketing fantasy there. They're struggling to fit in. They have a lot of problems. They get into some trouble, and all the things in life that they're trying to avoid by living in the Villages hit them right in the face. Their Truman Show boat hits a wall.
Right.
Oh, man.
Stop. That was nice.
I didn't do that. That
was, son who, of a bitch.
That,
bitch?
No. That was me. Sorry.
That's okay. I always feel really terrible. I'm like not good at describing the movie.
No. It was excellent. I was just
that was perfect.
Being a jerk.
So, the Villages, so people understand, is this enormous retirement community
is it 130,000 people? Is that what it is? It's insane.
Yeah. So the Villages, it's literally 130,000 people have chosen to uproot themselves from wherever they live, move to Florida inside of this retirement community that's designed to simulate the 1950s and the 60s. They have their own newspaper that prints only the good news. They got a radio station that plays only the songs from the 50s and the 60s. It's this sort of really artificially constructed world that everyone's choosing to move to spend their, you know, final few chapters of their life in.
So Lance, you're what, how old are you?
I'm old enough.
You're 24? 20?
Yeah, I'm 24.
This is the shock. This is the story.
Right.
How, and this is your, is this your first feature? Have you made films before?
I've made a bunch of shorts before, but this is the first long movie I've made.
So how did this project start? Because as a guy who's 40, I'm gonna be 45, the idea of being where you are right now, 24, is insane. and the maturity that exists in this movie is also, I feel like there's another side to this story that somebody else is involved. You got the Maisels working for you somehow.
I got a ghost director.
No, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but it does. It's a compliment. It feels like a very mature, fully realized kind of view or point of view. But so how did it begin? And I know Darren Aronofsky produced this or executive produced it. I'm guessing maybe he wasn't maybe involved in the beginning, or maybe he was. Tell me how you started this process. Yeah.
Well, you know, I made a movie about a guy living on a cruise ship. This is a retiree. He had been living on cruises exclusively for 20 years. He's a dude who is obsessed with Royal Caribbean, and that's he's chosen to sort of escape reality and live, you know, that's the existence he chose to want to go to. So I made that film, and I was kind of obsessed with this idea of, like, you know, why is it that this generation, the baby booming generation, chooses to, you know, I think the villages is a very popular idea for that specific generation. I don't know if it would really work for every generation.
Right.
Made that film. And then I saw a marketing advertisement for the villages, which looked exactly like the Morning in America Ronald Reagan ad.
Yeah.
But it was supposed to, you know, a very contemporary version. It also kind of looked like the opening from Blue Velvet. And then I saw a few days later that it had become this article that was like, this place is one of the fastest growing cities in the country, not just retirement communities, but cities, literally. So I just was interested. I didn't really know, you know, I think a lot of the previous reporting on the place was a lot to do. I mean, it's an extremely conservative world there. It's like, you know, 98.3% white, very homogenous nomenclature. There is everyone kind of has their own way of being. But I think, you know, the interesting thing when I got there was that, like, I was sort of the same age that a lot of the people who chose to live there were trying to return back to. I was about to start off as my college thesis.
Right.
And there's this, you know, the Peter Pan syndrome. I didn't want to fucking leave college. I wanted to stay there for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people there were trying to return back. And the ways they were spending their time was very similar to, I guess, how I was spending time in college. So there was this kind of interesting thing that happened where, like, age kind of became less important, you know. And then I also wanted to make a movie that wasn't about elderly people. I wanted to make the movie about people.
Yeah.
I feel like every time you see a movie about elderly folks on screen, it's like, you know, they defang them. And the only movie I can think of that hasn't done that is like The Mule or something, the Clint Eastwood movie.
Yeah. How did you ingrain yourself in the villages? How did you find, my guess is you talked to a lot of people and sort of like sort of narrowed down to some people that you really found were going to be fascinating to follow. But yeah, how did you get down there and get these people to trust you and spend time down there?
Well, it took a lot of time. I mean, for one, the developers of the place, like, they tried to kick me out, and, you know, they put like a digital wanted poster of my face around.
Jesus.
So it was like, don't trust this guy. But I didn't know anyone there. I basically just found, I realized that the place is like a gated community. I'm putting gated in quotes.
Yeah.
It's like symbolically gated. Anyone can kind of drive in whenever they want. And I saw there was like a ton of Airbnb listings. So I just started off by choosing whoever I could find was like the most interesting Airbnb host. I found these two retired rodeo clowns, and then I moved in with them for like probably almost a month. And then I just basically got to know them pretty well. They kind of showed me where certain clubs were, you know. They gave me this like 200-page club listing document that had like a club for the Elaines. All the Elaines in the place have their own club, apparently.
Yeah.
The cheerleaders, stuff like that.
Right.
And, I basically just started emailing people unsolicitedly, which was also how I got in touch with Aronofsky. I had been sending him emails for like 5 years. I wish I found your email, Tim. I probably would have done the same. But I would go through the Sony hacks when I was in high school, and I would like source my favorite filmmakers' emails from there. Put them in a spreadsheet and just email people and say, hey, I love your stuff.
That's how you do it.
I just made a short, you know, go look at it, please. And then usually people wouldn't respond.
And he did.
Well, it took 4 years, 4.5-ish years. He didn't respond. It was actually one of his like execs at his production company. They were like, hey, you should stop doing this. He's never going to read these emails. But like, I watched your short. It's cool. You know, I'd love to, you know, if you want to talk about it.
Right.
Sure. So I went, showed him some stuff I had shot from this film already. And then I told them that a lot of other people were interested, which wasn't the case. And then I basically just played it up, and then he got involved.
So you shot down there kind of on spec for a while. And then at one point do you say, okay, this is actually going to be a movie. Do you, were you are you the DP or did you have a DP? That's a director of photography, by the way, Greg.
Yeah, not the other DP. Tim's got a dirty mind.
Hey-o!
The DP of the movie is like one of my best friends. I've been making movies with him since I was like 17.
So is David he down Nolan. There with you as well, like living with you?
Yeah, he was living. So we all ended up, while we were making this movie, we all just lived in the villages proper. Like we got a house there. It's pretty cheap. And, you know, I mean, I think part of the trust building process with the subjects of the film, I didn't realize that we were going to make, I had no idea what movie we were making for so long.
Yeah.
And it was honestly pretty terrifying because I got all these people involved in it. And suddenly I was like, oh, wow, I have a little bit of wiggle room where I could keep shooting this and have the resources finally to go and figure this out. But to everyone else who had been involved in it, they were like, oh, this guy knows exactly what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's got this whole fucking thing figured out. And I didn't. But my editor, Daniel Garber, who also really a co-author of the movie, the documentary editors, as you probably know,
that's a big part. Look,
you got your editor behind you.
Yep.
You know, they're like the co-authors of whatever you make. He's really,
I don't see it that way.
He was like a director in the edit.
I got a question. The guy
hit me.
The guy that doesn't live at the place, the guy living in the van. I'll try not to spoil it. Yeah. But how did you find that guy?
So that dude, I met him at a singles club. He was masquerading as a villager. There's a guy in question. He's a man who pretends to be a villager, but he's actually just living in a van. And he drove from California to Florida to meet wealthy widows because he wants to move in with them. But he gave me a business card that said, like, because everyone there uses these business cards. It's like old school Facebook. It has like their interest, their name, a photo of them. Really fun stuff. And then his business card said celebrity handyman and personal companion for hire. So I was like, oh, is this dude like American a gigolo or something like that?
And
you know,
follow up question. Do you know where he is now or do you keep up with him at all?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that's been kind of amazing about like making short, you know, making a short film. You drop into someone's life. I mean, this is my experience at least. I mean, you'd only follow someone for like 5 or 6 days, then you disappear. And you get more attached to the art than the person. And this movie, you know, it was like, we spent a lot of time with these people. So when the camera stopped rolling, like I still talk to them once a week. Dennis, the van man, I don't want to ruin the ending of the film, but spoiler alert, I was trying to make a joke about Sixth Sense, but I don't know how to do that segue. I don't have your skills.
Don't give anything away. I went into this movie without knowing anything about it.
Okay.
I ended up watching it again with my wife the next night because I was like, you gotta see this. This is so good.
Oh, damn.
I remember, you know what? I don't think we've said the name of it yet.
Well, this is my only problem with the movie. You think you're gonna get off scot-free? I know how hard names are. I'll tell you, with Mr. America, we had nothing but trouble with that. What is the name of this movie? It took forever to figure that out.
Could you call it Nothing But Trouble?
I love that movie.
Something Dad, about Some name. Kind of Mr. Heaven
America
is annoying.
Is a great title.
Some Kind of Heaven is annoying, just personally for me and my brain. I can't ever remember it. It's like one of those things. Like my daughter has a friend named Sophia. I can never recall the name. I'm always like, is it Fiona? No, it's Sophie. Okay. Like something about the name Some Kind of Heaven. I get the title. It makes sense. It's my pet peeve. Whatever.
Well, yeah, you know what? Well, just go away, man. No one's asking you, all right?
Thank you, Tim.
Sorry. I know. You shot Mr. America kind of like a doc in a way, you know? Because you shot that movie. You spent like only a few days shooting that.
We shot that movie in 3 days.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's the truth. With a little like extra, like we shot a half a day with like some drone shots and stuff, but really, just 3 days. I think it's in the Guinness Book of World Records.
That's intense.
I got to move things along because we have our pun contest at 11. But what do I want to ask you?
Are you thinking of your next film? Are you that part?
Let's take it easy on that.
I'm just curious.
Let's see how this goes. Then you worry about what
I'm
you're
just
doing
blown
next.
Away by the look of it and the shots you got. It is a genuine piece of art, and I'm just amazed
actually,
at it.
Actually, that reminds me of a question I wanted to ask.
Because it's not to somebody, like a lot of documentaries just have like a camera over their shoulder, and it's just like, you know, shaky and everything. This is like
very beautiful
Wes Anderson level, like shots are amazing.
So let me ask you that. There's a lot of composed shots in this film. A lot of, you know, shots that don't just come naturally from you being in the right place. Like, there is some participation, I imagine, with your character, with your, you know, people you're following. You must have been sort of, there's a how do I say it? You're working with them to make this thing look great. Like, you must be directing.
Yeah. No, totally. I mean, I think, like, there's a few things, right? The style of the movie is dictated from the setting or the subject matter. So in this case, like, I wanted to sort of inhabit the dreamscape. And if you're making a documentary in a dream or about a dream or about a fantasy land, you can't just do, like, fly on the wall verite.
Right.
But also, you know, like, you can't just do observational filmmaking. I was already sticking out because I was much younger and I had this big camera with me. So I just kind of went, you know, I kind of leaned into it. And what we ended up doing is it was almost like the subjects, everything in the movie is real, but they're almost performing, you know, versions of their lives. Sometimes we would be in the right place, the right time, and we would be able to shoot something out. But, you know, we're shooting, like, we have, like, reaction shots, things that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you're fucking with reality a little
bit.
You
never really get in a film or in a documentary.
I think it's great. And I assume everybody's happy with it. I assume the people
but that honestly was kind of, it's the most honest way to make a film. If you're close with your subjects, like, I think this sort of process got me, like, infinitely closer to the people I was making the film with, because they knew what we were doing all the time. I couldn't just be like, all right, take off your clothes and go somewhere. You know, it's like, they would question decisions like that. They would question sometimes, like, why am I doing, you know, why are we shooting this type of thing?
Right. And they're happy with it. They're happy with it.
Crazily, yeah. They made fake merch. If you look up Dennis Dean, Reggie Kintzer puts this spirituality back in spirit, I think, is the Facebook group. Reggie's created a Facebook group where he's selling his bootlegged merch. He's creating his own merch for the movie.
That's great.
So anyway, but thank you for having me, guys. It's an honor. And, you know, your film, your work has, you know, you've created a whole thing. So
thank you.
Thank you.
Why don't you make a documentary about me next time? I mean, let's be honest. That's what people want to see. That's going to bring people in. All right. One of those long six parters. I open my books.
You
could live with me.
Like, too long.
You can embed with me for as long as you need. I'll give you access to all my emails. And everything. Okay. All right, Lance, don't laugh. It's very serious. All right, let's take a minute. Doug, can you give us something, some reset?
Did we say the film's out tomorrow? Did we tell people?
Some Kind of Heaven, or some kind of title, whatever you want to call
some
it.
Some Kind of Heaven.
The Village is Doc. That's coming out today, I believe.
Tomorrow.
Right? Is it not today?
Tomorrow night. Tomorrow morning, whatever.
Do yourself a favor and buy this or rent it. Yes. How are people watching it?
You got to go on VOD. You got to pay like $6, but
only
$6. Do it. It's worth it. It's
absolutely
$6. It's a good thing. And then Hulu later on.
Yeah, nice. It'll come to Hulu. But do it. Have yourself a nice night. Don't just watch The Sopranos like I do every night. Watch this. Pay for it. Support Magnolia. Support Lance.
Buy the merch.
All right, babe.
All right, man. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Peace. I call my guest babe. Let's bring in... I do like when we have just 10 seconds of something going on back there, guys. I mean... We're back with our only pun. Wait, is Andrew Hyland here? Andre Hyland, I mean?
Should be.
Andre? Hello!
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Look at you.
Right, so my headphones don't have a microphone attached to it, so.
Well, you sound fine.
All right, cool.
The ambiance is fine. Good to see you, man. You're calling in from New Zealand?
Yeah, man. It's 8 a.m. here, but I actually haven't even gone to sleep.
Shut up. What's that about? Yeah, what are you, like, living a rock and roll lifestyle? Hell. What are you hanging out with David Bowie?
That's right, just that Southern Hemisphere style.
What are you doing down there?
my girlfriend was working here, and then I ended up working here a little bit. And kind of won like the 2020 lottery to get to be here. So
that's awesome. How long have you been down there?
Happy about that. Since August. So I was there for the first half of the year.
And are are you in Auckland?
Yeah, I am.
I know these things.
Yeah.
I know where everything is. Who cares? I know where everything is. All right, are you ready? This isn't the Andre Highland interview, by the way. Okay.
Oh, I'm aware. Yeah. I'm here for puns, not fun.
Thank you. Well, these are fun. And do we have a, are we just going with our punman from earlier?
Well, we have, we can kind of bring, some other folks have some. We could bring them in.
Who wants to kick things off?
How do you want to warm up?
How does this work in this format, Tim? I'm used to the satellite RIP format. Is there anything different in this situation?
Well, we're going to each do a pun, and we'll get a reaction from the Zoomers. We could see many of them right now. They're going to give between a 1 to a 5 rating, and we're going to just keep tally who wins each round, and then who wins the whole.
And the chatters weigh in too. Right. Super chats will be weighed more heavily, right?
So let me begin.
Let me begin.
So Doug and Andre, everybody really. By the way, the sort of broad parameters of this are insurrection, inauguration. Now that's going to be, for me at least, it's a very broad kind of look at the current events of the last few weeks and the characters and the people and the stories. So, but this is kind of unrelated to that because I was noticing my wife was wearing this really beautiful red necklace. I said, "What is that you got there?" She said, "Ruby jewelry on me." Ruby jewelry on me.
What?
Ruby jewelry on me. Ruby jewelry on me. Ruby jewelry on me. Okay?
What's the rating, Zoomers and Chatters?
2, 4, 3, 2, 3. Ruby jewelry on me? I've got ruby jewelry on me. That's great. You don't think that's great? It checks all the boxes.
I think I'll give you a 3.
Ruby jewelry on me. That's.
I'm not here to judge. I'm just here to do my.
Right. Fair enough.
Right. I'm tabulating.
I don't want to influence the.
Okay,
I'm tabulating in real time.
Honestly, Tim, you should.
Go ahead.
Honestly, Tim, you should ask for 4 more points.
4 more points. Is that your entry? No, that we can.
That's sub, just a bonus. Can, that wasn't my entry.
We
but,
can sub. We can sub pun each other. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, that's like a little
okay,
like,
ruby jewelry on me. You're gonna start loving that later today. Trust me. Go ahead, Doug.
Well, first of all, Tim, I would like to say that you're looking really good today.
Thanks, buddy.
Joe Manchin it.
Okay. Interesting. Ruby jewelry on me.
Are we judging or just
Joe Manchin it. Joe Manchin better than judging. Jewelry
I'm going to start using that in real life. That's
Joe
wonderful.
Manchin. Well, it's Joe Manchin, Manchin it.
Joe Manchin it.
Like Joe Manchin it.
Joe Manchin it.
Thank you, Vic.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Sucks. Okay. Vic?
Landing at a 3 also.
Give me a break.
I'm just tabulating.
Why did Donald Trump reach into a horse's feed bag and stick the grains up his butt? Well, he heard that all the presidents are required to take the oats of orifice.
All right.
I'm going to delete that one.
Doug, I'm bumping you up to 3.5 based on tabulations.
Okay, Andre Highland.
Tabulating.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you guys hear that new Offspring song that just came out with a new song? No Fly for a White Guy? It's pretty good.
Pretty Fly for a White Guy?
What?
No fly for a White
no
Guy.
No Fly for a White Guy. Very nice.
Okay.
Very nice.
Who's up? The Zoomer or is it?
You want to bring a Zoomer?
Here's my forget the Zoomers. This is pro level stuff.
That one.
Hey, my question. This is a simple question. Where's the pit? Where's the pit? In Peach. Where's the pit, Doug?
In Peach.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you guys know? I didn't know insurrection was a name, but apparently it starts with a capital.
Tell me, I don't get that one. Help
Insurrection
me.
Starts with the capital. I like that.
Okay, there you go.
It. Someone's listening. Someone's listening.
I'm paying attention.
Are we going in order here?
I don't know what's going on.
I got
it. It's like insurrection. Yeah,
Doug, you're next.
Do what you want.
Why was the Italian Art Museum a ripoff? I went to the statue section. They only had affidavit.
I appreciate that one.
Does anybody know why the MAGA men all sprinted towards the Capitol building?
Why?
Because they wanted to see who was the fascist runner.
Ah!
Yeah, because Trump gave them the signal and they were off to the racist.
I like the double.
Very nice. Yeah. Andre?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, everybody's upset because, you know, they all stormed the Capitol, but honestly, it could have been worse. They could have hurricane seasoned the Capitol. You know, just look on the bright side.
Okay. here's a question for you. Where is the knight's semen? Where is the knight's semen?
Hmm.
Went to the castle. Where is the knight's semen? Oh, it's in Sir's erection. Insurrection.
God. I get it.
Sir is a, he's a knight. He's a sir.
Uh-huh.
In Sir's erection.
Cool.
Why did the religious woman from the convent bring snorkeling gear to the ocean? So,
you know, a lot of people don't realize the insurrection was actually sponsored by a major soda brand, Dr. Pepper spray.
Doug has the floor, sir. Doug has the floor.
Why did the religious woman bring snorkeling gear to the ocean? So none see Pelosi.
None see Pelosi. Okay. But you don't like Ruby jewelry on me. Okay.
I heard this fact about Trump. They were having dinner the other night, and I don't know if it's like, why did Donald Trump smack Barron upside the head after dinner?
Ouch.
Kind of violent. Because he didn't want to clean up and put sedition in the sink. Sedition?
Sedition in the sink, yeah.
Okay.
Andre?
Oh, I was just going to say, a lot of people keep saying they're surprised that more people didn't get shot at the insurrection, but if anybody knows anything about Washington, they know that all the bullets were replaced with wizards ages ago, so it's actually difficult to shoot people.
All right. Now.
The one follows the NBA? Nothing? No?
No. What do we call... What do we call ELO's frontman's erection? What do we call ELO's frontman's erection? Linwood. Oh, well, let me just do a twofer here. This will be the last round. I'll do my two, and then I'm cleared. Oh, I got three that I love. Doug, what's a breath freshener that also sews? What is a breath freshener that also sews?
I don't know. What?
Amendment.
Okay.
Amendment. An amendment.
Yeah, yeah.
Doug?
Okay, here's mine. Ready? Fuck. Shit. Damn it. Sometimes I do solemnly swear.
Wow.
Okay, Vic.
Wait, is this our final?
Go ahead. Get him out. Go ahead.
Yeah, clear him out.
What kind of books do drunk bibliophiles collect? First edition. What kind of piss does Mitch McConnell drink when he's driving around Frankfort, Kentucky, looking for public toilets in his 1997 Metro? GOP.
Okay. Vic?
What did the iron workers say when they went on strike? Stop the steal.
There you go.
Hey, Dad, why did all the members of Bell and Sebastian turn into MAGA supporters? Because they heard that Trump's mob committed violence and acts of twee, son. Twee pop, you know?
Uh-huh.
Let's see here. This is one kind of already touched on, but why didn't Donald Trump take part in the storming of the Capitol building? He wanted to, but he accidentally told his driver to go to the lowercase building.
There you go.
I got two more.
I like that one.
That's for children.
Yeah, that's for children. This is a science pun in case nobody's into science. Ammonium is a positively charged polyatomic ion. Just, yeah. Why did Trump positively order his mob to charge the Capitol building and then go ahead and condemn the mob after doing so? Because he wanted pandemonium. He wanted to pan the ammonium.
Okay.
Pandemonium. Right. I got one more. Why?
Well, I got more too. I mean, I could.
I got more too.
We're trying to get to Andre here.
Why didn't Mr. Trump stop his violent mob from attacking the police?
Why?
Because keeping a tidy yard is the only law and order he believes in.
Law and order. Law and order.
Okay.
Oh, I was just gonna say. You know that like some of these Trumpers are so prejudiced that during a pandemic they won't even wear a mask.
Anymore?
Yeah. I was just gonna say, you know, like it turns out a lot of the people that stormed the Capitol, they say they did it because of Q.
Yeah.
Which is what I don't understand, why so many people are taking orders from a Star Trek character.
That's a good question. I've been having this issue.
Wait, let him run.
Wait, I got a couple more. You know, also I know you guys are huge NBA fans based on your response to my last joke. But, you know, like one of Trump's last, you know, things he's trying to change before he leaves office is he wanted to change the name of the Washington Wizards to the Washington Grand Wizards. They even have the hoodies made and everything.
Ouch.
Uh-oh.
Well, let me lighten the mood here because not get into that racist stuff. That's terrible. But I have this problem, you know, we've got a dog and I walk around our yard all the time and I always track in dog shit. It's just become a problem. I go to my wife. I say, I don't know what to do about this anymore. She said, well, you should check Chuck Schumer. Okay. And also I got to tell you, there's a great book. I think it's a book of old stories from the set of the original Tonight Show host. I mean, these are fantastic stories of legends. This is, you know, the book is called Parlor. Jack Parr.
Oh.
Parlor.
Oh.
Well, Tim, I was looking up historical facts, and did you know that it was only after the Boston Tea Party that America really started drinking coffee, because drinking tea was considered unpatriotic? Mm-hmm. This is true. 1776. I figured people would be drinking Joe by then.
Oh, Doug, this actually concerns you, you know, DJ Doug Pound in the house, in the mix. You must be thrilled about Brexit, you know, because it certifies that you'll absolutely never have to change your name to DJ Doug the Euro.
Now, I went to my Jewish deli. I said, I need a pastrami sandwich. And the guy behind the counter goes, I don't know, what kind of bread do you want? I go, you know what? Riot. Just riot.
Why did Mr. Trump install a telescope on the White House during the Capitol storming? He wanted to keep the violence in sight. Uh-huh. Get it?
Andre, you're from Ohio, right?
Absolutely.
Which part?
Cincinnati.
Oh, so have you ever flown Grover Cleveland?
Yeah. All right. I think
he's got one for me. I got one for him.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Why a lot of these people attacked the Capitol and actually went after politicians? Apparently, they wanted to grab him by the Pelosi.
See, now that's a shirt right there that I would see.
Probably wearing a real shirt.
Yeah, grabbed by the Pelosi.
All right,
I have to tell you one thing. The governor, for years, has been trying to get his penis in his own asshole, which I think is a little weird. That's a little weird, don't you think? And he just doesn't know what to do. And I told him, I actually ended up seeing him. I go, well, bend a dick, Arnold.
Oh, my God.
All right, man. What were you trying to say? You want to get a zoomer in here for one round?
Well, I was going to, because
You know, I have some tabulations, but I'm remembering now in the old days at the satellite, it was just put to a general vote of who won overall. Yes, yes, okay. And that occurred to me. So maybe...
We're going to have a hard time accepting these results.
I mean, I have some tabulations based on the numbers. We could do... You want to do a final round, maybe, and bring some Zoomers in?
I'm out, so...
You're out. All right.
Well, can I say one more thing?
Go ahead.
I know the Cowboys are... Kind of a nasty group, but at that demonstration, they actually set up a kids tent area for parents who brought kids with them, and they actually had some Proud Toys for everybody. So, you know, there's a silver lining with every group.
Very good.
You know what I heard that I heard that Satan, after we saw this insurrection, that he decided he's going to assign one little mischievous devil to every Republican who still supports Trump. That's right, one imp each.
Mm-hmm. One imp each.
One imp each.
I was working on an imp.
I was trying to get an imp each.
I was trying to get an imp angle going, but impeach turned out to be a better pun.
Vic is so busy thinking of his, he's not doing drops for Doug.
I know. I'm trying to think of some more, but
Serafina, I want you to weigh in.
Wait.
Help us declare a winner.
Oh, can I say something real quick?
But I think you have.
Let Andre get one more in.
Okay, Andre, go ahead.
There was a lot of talk about how the Capitol was like underprepared. Nintendo this was coming, you know, and like you would have hoped that someone would have said, the Red Hats are coming. But the problem is, if they had said that, they probably couldn't have seen their pants from that far away anyway.
The hell is that supposed to be? The Red Hats? Pants? What?
Yeah, right. What's the pants
the
part?
Hat,
I don't get it.
Red Hats were coming. This is a pun contest, correct?
Yeah, but what?
Oh, they were coming. So it's like,
ew. Now that's over the line.
I'm going to weigh in as the judge.
It's actually
say,
under the belt.
I'm disqualifying Andre because most of his puns were just jokes.
Was I the best one? This is egregious. This is rigged. This is rigged. Okay. Stop the steal, guys. I won this competition. Stop the steal. I'm about to storm my laptop.
Good luck to you.
Hang around.
You're
going to
lose badly.
Serafina, I want you to announce the official results.
Andre, it's great to see you.
I'm going to have to say Doug's the winner. He got the most laughs. He got the most fives.
There you go.
Wow.
Highly disagree. We will never give in. We will never give up. We will never let this treachery.
Go to the Quiznos website. It'll say that Andre won.
Ruby jewelry on me, ladies and gentlemen. That's the real winner today. I don't know if you're familiar with the pun itself. It's Rudy Giuliani. Hello?
Serafina has one. Serafina, you want to share one?
Well, if I could step away from the puns for 1 second.
Wait, no, of course not.
No, I'm allowing it.
I'll go back to it. I'll end it with a pun. How about that? Okay, well, you guys have been talking about The Sopranos a lot, so I dug up my family's Soprano family cookbook.
Ah.
And there's a big stress.
It's got to have a lot of manicot in there.
It's got the gabagool.
It's not gabagool. It's the shkadal. Shkadal. And it's just a nice recipe. Good for everyone. Tim, you know, maybe you could do it on kitchen tips if you're still making those.
I'm
those
not.
Are great.
See, I knew this was going to be a dud. I knew it when she
What's
got
your pun?
The pun topic.
But it's zuppa di scarola e fagioli. And it's scarola and beans. It's one of my family's, like, classic go-to. It's really cheap and healthy.
What
and
is it again?
Scarola. It's escarole. It's like greens and beans.
Right. Greens and beans.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Just speaking in tongues. This is nonsense.
It's Polly's Nucci's recipe.
All right. You got a pun for us?
Oh, yeah. It's just a recipe I've been wanting to share with you.
What is it?
We're waiting.
That's the pun?
You know, that was pretty good because she's pretty green to the whole pun thing.
Yeah, I ended it with a pun. I did full circle. I'm sorry. It wasn't good enough.
Well, it's not
it
political
good.
In nature.
I look forward to this day all week. In the pride of which I spoke of some of these puns to my wife last night in bed. I said, "Hun, you're not going to believe what I got. I've got gold. I'm spinning gold." I delivered some to her, and she said, "You're so sweet. I love you, sweetie, my sweetie pie. You've done it again. You've made our family proud." And then I get this from this ungrateful Zoom room. Ufala and Stugat. Right.
I want to let them redeem themselves. Can we bring one more Zoomer?
Let's do
in?
A recount.
Shane. Shane helped.
Shame on you.
Shane was the delight of Doug's workout, and he told me earlier in the chat he had a good one.
Okay.
Great one, man.
Oh, Shane. I just want to say to you, though, before we wrap this up, it, just like your initials, it's great to see you in HD. I'm too damn tired.
My initials are TH.
I just thought of your last name, Heidecker, and then I thought that was your full name because
Andre,
I have not slept.
You're our first permanent ban. You've been permanently suspended. By the way, that is a weird thing, right? Permanently suspended on Twitter. Permanently suspended. No, you're permanently banned. What is suspended?
That's like being stuck in purgatory.
Yeah. All right, we'll get some rest, buddy.
They want to bring him back.
Next time, come with your A game, and we'll see how it goes.
He came with his NZ game.
Anyway.
Okay.
Andre, great to see you, buddy.
Great to see you. Stay safe.
I don't know what to tell you.
Shane Skinner, hit us with your best shot. Yeah, man, we got your best shot.
You guys, I just wanted to
defend the so-called rioters coming in. The fake news was quick to say they were all shouting, hang Mike Pence. But what they were actually doing was they knew their mommies were at home watching. They were and did their laundry. They were shouting, hang my pants. Hang my pants.
Hang my pants. Hang my pants. Hang my pants, everyone. Hang my pants. Thank you, everyone. My pants. Let's say goodbye and good luck and help. Join us immediately for the after hours, patrons only. We're going to be talking about so much more. So much more to discuss. Thank you for being with us. Thanks to Lance Oppenheim. Some Kind of Heaven is available tomorrow night. I want everybody to write their report on this film. And it's due next Thursday. Send me your review. Get on Letterboxd. Thank you to Doug. Thank you to Vic. Thank you to Matt. Thank you to the wonderful Wes, who at last minute just put together the live music set.
What the heck?
What?
Got my
Vic's
going.
Playing along with this song.
Oh, beautiful new technologies. We love you.
I lost
we'll
the
see
key.
You soon.
Wait, so who won? Did I win?
Yeah, you
find
won.
Out.
Won.
Find out in after hours.
I have to go pee. No drop concert after this.
Yeah, I know.
Well, we're late anyway.
I only give them back if they believe quite otherwise. It still will have him. Not mine, my friend. They're free to fantasize.